Greetings, it is I, the Great One himself, Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, here with an anarchy moment. I am currently reading, and yeah, I'm kind of a nerd like this, I'm reading a role-playing book for the Exalted role-playing system, which, if any of you are into role-playing, if you're not familiar with Exalted, it's from White Wolf, is the company, I think. Hang on. Yes, White Wolf is the company. I couldn't remember if that was the name of the company or the name of their game. I think their big game is something that's like vampire werewolf based or something like that. I'm not familiar with it, but the person who introduced me to the Exalted series, the Exalted universe, the Exalted system, said that the story behind Exalted was that originally they just kind of did it as sort of a one-off and no big deal. And it really took off, and there is a crap ton of resources for Exalted. And as far as role-playing universes go, I think Exalted might be the most brilliant one out of all the ones I've played. And I haven't played all the RPGs out there. I've done a few, Dungeons & Dragons, Twilight 2000, Star Wars, Hero System, which I really enjoy and love. I love the Hero System and the way you build. And the versatility of the Hero System is fantastic. As far as mechanics, Hero System is, in my opinion, of my experience, the best RPG system as far as character building is Hero System. It's amazing. Because you can do anything with it. And this is a total geek moment if you're not into RPGs, just in anarchy. Just hang in there, and you should be into RPGs. The Exalted universe is fantastic because it's very myth-based, and it's sort of, I don't even want to try to go into what it's about, but here's what's brilliant about the Exalted system, and I've talked about this before, actually, on Stating the Obvious, and about how much problem this caused for the group that I used to roleplay with. Who are all good guys, love them all, except for the fact they're all statists, that's why I had to unfriend them on Facebook. But the great thing about Exalted is that it really is, in a moral and ethical sense, there's a lot of gray areas. Because most RPGs, you know, typically when people RPG, they want to play the good guys. You know, I have a code against killing, you know, I save people and I never lie, and you know, and all this other yada 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 horseshit. And the great thing about Exalted is that you're playing these characters who are the good guys, and yet you have every opportunity for your character who is a good guy to march, you know, 1,000 virgins into the temple and cut their hearts out in order to appease the sun god. And you can still be the good guy. Because in my mind, the whole point of fucking role-playing games is to do things you wouldn't, couldn't, and don't want to do in real life. And in real life, I don't want to cut the hearts out of 1,000 virgins in order to appease the fucking sun god. That's why I want to do it in a role-playing game. That's the fucking point of a role-playing game. Anyhow, none of that is really relevant to what I'm going to talk about here. What I'm going to talk about is, I'm reading this book. The particular book I'm reading is The Lunars. So in Exalted, the main good guys are the Solars. These are people who have been exalted with these solar spirits, and they have, you know, they power, and they're stronger and faster, and they can do charms and magic and all this other stuff. So the Lunars are also exalted beings. They're essentially, they're shapeshifters. They're lycanthropes. They don't have to be wolves. They can be any different form. And in the context of this universe, the Lunars are trying to restore the Golden Age in their own way of manipulating human civilizations, essentially breeding humans and manipulating their societies to create societies of humans who are self-reliant and smarter and more able to survive and more able to fend off attacks from the wild and all this other stuff. In the context of this universe, the Lunars are actually kind of like the libertarian anarchist in that their ultimate, let's put it this way, the virtue they think is most important is self-reliance, independence, and at the same time interdependence, because of course you can't have independence without interdependence. That's an Aristotelian thing, which is in the Politics, and not going into that now. But the point is, the Lunars are sort of the anarcho-capitalist characters or character classes in this role-playing universe. So in the book, it's talking about all the different ways that the Lunars do what they do and manipulate civilizations and all this other stuff. And so I want to read this little part to you here. Positive reinforcement, crops, climate, herds, and hunting. This method rewards the populace for a particular sort of behavior. For instance, instituting new farming practices, setting new boundaries, honoring the gods in a new way, or changing social rules. It usually convinces the people that the gods favor their current course of action and encourages them to continue it. While this can be done openly, the Lunar appears, praises the people's action, and summons up good weather or a bountiful food in a dramatic way. It usually works better as a more subtle course of action. Lunars can easily contact local petty gods and spirits to arrange good weather, good hunting, and good crops, or maybe even have charms and spells do the job themselves. Example: in the West, the Lunar Ten Stripes is on good terms with a number of local store mothers and spirit courts. When she sees that her island of seminary obeys her laws thoroughly, she arranges good winds and good fishing for the boats going out to sea. Problems: too much reliance on this can mean that perfectly good weather or hunting is regarded as divine favor, when in fact it isn't. Equally, that bad weather or hunting are treated as divine disapproval when they aren't. Also, local spirits won't always want to help. They may have their own superiors to whom to answer. Chime. I'm going to wait for the clock to chime out. It's 8 o'clock here in Fort Collins, Colorado. It's raining again. Today is September the 15th. We're on the tail end of all the flooding here in northeastern Colorado. The area where I live is remarkably undamaged, but a lot of the other parts of Colorado, Loveland, Longmont, Greeley, Boulder, from what I've heard, have all been hit with relative degrees of nastiness. I don't know a whole lot about exactly what has happened, so I'm not going to talk about things I don't know because I'm not a Democrat or a Republican. But there has been flooding, definitely. To continue reading, they may have their own superiors to whom to answer. And finally, today's special reward becomes tomorrow's entitlement. People don't stay grateful and can be annoyingly quick to take good crops and good fortune for granted. I've talked about before how when reading The Politics by Aristotle, it's amazing how this book, written however many thousand years ago, is so mind-blowingly relevant to our political situation today. It amazes me how reading this book about the Lunars and reading about the ways in which the Lunars, as exalted characters, attempt to manipulate civilizations, manipulate groups of people. If you just replace the word Lunar with politicians, you've got it, right? Politicians dole out favors for constituency groups that do what they want them to do. So just like the Lunar manipulates the people into utilizing crop rotation and then rewards them with something, and eventually the people start thinking, well, the Lunar, we rotated our crops, the Lunar made it rain an extra day, now we expect rain for an extra day every single year. So too do the politicians manipulate these special interest groups into doing something, you know, oh, let's get the teachers union to support Obamacare, and in return I'll give them exemptions from Obamacare, which the fact that Obama exempted teachers from Obamacare tells you that it's probably not as wonderful as you've been sold. But then, of course, then the teachers unions start saying, well, we should get more exemptions, we should get more favors. It just amazes me as I read this book how incredibly perceptive the people who wrote this are, and maybe without even knowing it. Which brings me to my next example, which I've talked about before, and I'm going to briefly talk about again. The television show Spartacus, which I fucking love. It amazes me how people watch Spartacus. And they see Spartacus, the slave, fighting for his freedom. And they support Spartacus. And then they go out into their life, their day-to-day life, and they beat the slaves. People read these role-playing books in the Exalted series, and they read it's this incredibly vast and rich role-playing universe in which the Exalted beings, you know, put on these airs of being there to make the world a wonderful place and save you and give you free health care and all this other shit. But in reality, they have their ins and their outs, and their good days and their bad days, and their good side and their bad side. Right, like I said, the Exalted who makes it rain is also the same Exalted who sacrifices the virgins. And it fascinates me how in popular culture and entertainment, like television and role-playing game, we see all of these things presented so clearly. We can see that the Lunars can be good characters and that they can be bad characters, and we can see that the population can become dependent. This is what brought about the Age of Sorrows, when the Age of Wonders fell and all this other stuff, right? Because the Solar Exalted used their powers to provide everything for the people, so the people essentially didn't have to do anything. They became very Brave New Worldish, completely reliant on the Solars. And so when the Dragon-Blooded and Sidereals overthrew the Solars and took power for themselves, civilization fell into a crumble because nobody in civilization knew how to do anything for themselves, because the Solars, literally using their Exalted powers, provided everything for them. And they became, does this sound like the citizens of any country you know, became too stupid to provide their own basic needs, like food, right? I mean, I don't know, do we live in a civilization by chance where 99% of the people have no clue where food actually comes from? Couldn't grow their own food if they had to? I mean, I don't know, do you know anybody who lives in a civilization where if you went into a city and asked people, where does meat come from? They would say, the supermarket? So we have Spartacus. A man sits on his couch and watches Spartacus TV series. He watches Spartacus the slave standing up to the slave masters and fighting for his freedom. And then that man goes to bed, he gets up the next morning, he puts on his body armor, he puts on his police uniform, he goes out into the street, and he shoots a protester in the face with mace. And then he beats that protester with a stick, and he puts that protester into a cage. And there's a complete fucking disconnect here. And I think this is one of the most terrifying aspects of the society we currently live in. And this is one of the reasons why I think the society we live in is beyond redemption, in the sense that, you know, people, well, it's going to fix itself eventually, you know, a lot of libertarians, well, eventually people are going to want freedom, yada. No, they're not. There is a huge disconnect between what people say they think, what people say they believe, and what they actually do. And this is completely glossed over because people like philosophy professors, whom I have studied under at college level in 500 and 600 level classes, will say hypocrisy doesn't matter. And in a sense, they're right. But our society focuses on completely the wrong thing, because hypocrisy, as I'm using the word here, because this is philosophy, I define my terms. So by hypocrisy, I mean a conflict or a disagreement between thoughts and words. I shouldn't even really say thoughts, because nobody is privy to your thoughts other than yourself. So I'm going to say that hypocrisy is a conflict between your actions and the belief system and standards and universal values that you speak to other people. So let me give you an example to solidify what I'm saying here. If I say I believe that abortion is murder, and then I go get an abortion and I say that it's okay because the fetus was not a human, that's hypocrisy. If I say that raping women is wrong, and I go out and I find this random woman on the street and I push her down and I punch her in the face a couple of times and I rip her clothes off and I stick my cock inside of her and I fuck her until I come, okay, that's hypocrisy. That is a clear conflict between the belief system I have stated I believe and my actions. And so, for example, when would a philosophy professor ever say that that's okay? Well, I'll give you an example. When a global warming wacko says that automobiles are destroying the environment, but drives an automobile. Well, but, you know, that doesn't matter that he drives an automobile. He's still right that global warming is destroying the environment. Or there's a particular animal rights activist who says that there's an animal rights wacko who says that humans should not be allowed to own pets because that's ownership of animals and it's wrong. And on his website, there's a picture of him with his two pet dogs. Okay, and philosophy professors will say, well, it doesn't matter that he has pet dogs. If he's right when he says that humans owning pets is slavery and ownership. And so when you live in a society where, and here's the thing, and what order do I do this in? Okay, it's not the hypocrisy in and of itself that I believe is the problem. It's the problem that we focus on the espoused belief system as opposed to the actions. So when the animal rights wacko says humans shouldn't own animals as pets because that's slavery, but then he owns pets, everybody says, well, that's okay because his beliefs are right. But his actions, which are actually manifesting in the world and which actually affect the world, apparently don't fucking matter. So let's take this to another extreme. If I say I don't believe that it's okay to rape women, if I say women should not be raped, but then I go out and rape women, well, my hypocrisy doesn't matter, right? Because the emphasis is on what people say they believe. And the fact that, well, just because he went out and raped women, well, that doesn't mean that raping women is right. No, I mean, look, hypocrisy doesn't matter. What matters is he says that you shouldn't rape women. Just like the global warming wackos say automobiles destroy the earth, and then they drive an SUV. The animal rights wackos say that pet ownership is slavery, but he has two dogs. Right? I don't believe, you know, look at your typical Obama voter. They don't believe in killing people, yet they support Obama, who is murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots, right? The fact that they are actively supporting a sociopath who murders people, that doesn't matter, because they believe that people have a right to life. You know, that people shouldn't be killed. They believe that. In a sane, rational society, which we do not live in, the emphasis would be exactly backwards. In a sane, rational society, you would be able to stand on the street corner and say, I believe that women should be pushed down, punched in the face, have their clothes ripped off, and have cocks stuck in every hole of their body, and if they don't like it, they should be hit even harder. But if you never ever do it, who gives a shit? You can say whatever the fuck you want. As a human being, as a sane, rational human, I don't give a flying fuck what other people think or what they say. I am only interested in what they do. You can say, well, I think Operation... why do I always call them Operation Wall Street? You can say, I think Occupy Wall Street idiots should be maced in the face and beat with sticks and put in cages. But as long as you don't ever actually mace one, hit them with a stick, and put them in a cage, who gives a shit what you think? Our society is completely fucking backwards. Look at the actions of our politicians versus what they say. Look at the actions of police forces versus what they say. Look at the actions of global warming wackos versus what they say. Look at the actions of animal rights wackos versus what they say. Look at the actions of pro-choice wackos and what they do. Look at what pro-choice wackos say versus what they do. Look at what pro-life wackos say versus what they do. Look at what so-called Christians say versus what they do. Jesus loves everyone. God hates fags. You're going to burn in hell, right? This isn't a left or... I know most of you listening to this are stuck in the left-wing, right-wing paradigm, and you're stupid. This is not a fucking left-right phenomena. This is a statist versus anarchist phenomena. Anarchists understand what I'm saying. Anarchists have already tuned out because they already get this. This is anarchism 101. For those of you who are statist, what you cannot grasp is that what you say, you think and believe to other people doesn't fucking matter. The only thing that matters is what you do. And we live in a society where this is completely corrupted. And it has to be, because what happens in our society, right? We put people in rape cages. The police beat people and they mace people who are peaceful protesters. The government spies on everybody. The government did the Tuskegee experiment. The government put Japanese people in concentration camps. The government exterminated the American Indians. You know, the government tested radiation on American soldiers. The government is murdering people in foreign countries with flying robots. Yeah, so, I mean, the government, the state, cannot sit there and go, why, yes, your actions matter more than your words. Okay, this is why Obama can stand up there and give speeches with his Nobel Peace Prize, talking about how he's going to shut down Guantanamo Bay. And yet, here we are, 5 years later, it's still open and people are still in there. Because his actions don't matter, do they? All that matters is the touchy-feely words that come out of his mouth. And until we as a society reach the point where people recognize that actions are more important than words, the beatings will continue.